Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
There is a living, swirling presence of the Lord here tonight. And then it's like he's watching over his word to perform it. And we need to agree, maybe simple, but there is power here. And one of the things that just I felt like was came with fire and glory was, as we were singing, as Michael was leading us and singing, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let God arise." And I started seeing different words. Let God arise, let drug addiction scatter. Let God arise and let division and bigotry and anti-Semitism scatter. Let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and let cancer scatter. This week, last week, we have had a lot of requests of urgent prayer requests for cancer. And I really have just felt great grace. Michael and I had to be in Dallas last week. We got back on Saturday, but last Saturday. But there was tremendous grace that Jesus has done this. He has taken the price. He has paid the price for our healing and our deliverance. So I'm going to blow the trumpet and we're going to declare together, let addiction scatter. Let God arise. Let all infirmities scatter. Let God arise, let cancer scatter. Let God arise, let divorce and division scatter. Bigotry and division. Disunity, depression, scatter. So, why don't you stand up? Say with me, let God arise.
Let God arise.
Let his enemies be scattered.
Let his enemies be scattered.
Let God arise.
Let God arise.
Raise your hands and just let God arise.
Let God arise.
Let his enemies be scattered.
Let his enemies scatter.
Let cancer scatter.
Let cancer scatter.
Let every infirmity.
Let every infirmity.
Cancer.
Scatter.
Let God arise.
Let God arise.
Let drug addiction.
Let drug addiction.
Scatter.
Let his enemies be scattered.
And as we all our praise and our worship, and really felt like there was an authority tonight on our worship, on our praise, and it had substance. And the name of Jesus. In many, many situations over the last years, you could say something, and then you could say something, and the authority, the presence, and the glory of God is right over that word. And suddenly the doctor will say, "We don't see any cancer." That has happened several times this last 3-4 weeks. Several cancers have disappeared, and there is no explanation. There is an authority for healing. And realize something is happening. I do want to say that there is this important, there is a purpose in our fasting and prayer and a fresh authority over all we are doing. You may be seated. I do want to say that we have certain focuses, but we will generally, we are praying for every family, all our children, our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and that we're humbling ourselves. And one of the important things that we can corporately agree is, and we want to purpose towards it, is we are laying a groundwork. Some may say way ahead of time, but I don't think so. It's more a strategy that we start laying groundwork for the national elections for next year in 2020. And that I really felt God was saying, lay the groundwork even now for the national election, for the choice we are going to be making for the presidency, for the House, and for the Senate. And so, and it is, of course, we ground, there's many scriptures, but in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks. See how that divides in. So we are saying we are going to be praying and fasting. I exhort supplications. Say supplications. Prayers. Intercessions. And giving of thanks. Be made for all men. For kings. And all who are in authority. So that's why for the United States, we don't have kings, but we have presidency, the executive branch, and then the legislative and the judicial. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And another says that we need to pray for all those in authority that we can, and those who are carrying out to keep order in our nation so that we may live in peace and share the gospel. So, we have had different incidents in the past few years. But there have been acts of extreme violence, some aimed against crowds, malls, and schools. So we need to, locally and translocally, we need to include in our fasting and prayer that the Lord, the angels of God. And I want you to encourage you to include the angels, release the angels in the next era. I really had a witness what Richie was sharing about us changing the skin. The outer layer is coming off. I wish he had picked a little different example than snake. If you say snake, I say, ah, eek. But yes, it's a process of coming into something new. New grace, new favor, and let the allow the Lord to take us to the next stage. And it's done, as we see. The models are there in Scripture. We want to, every activity we are doing, it's based overall, the larger word is Scripture, from Scripture. I do want to share, we pray for and bless Pastor Bonnie and Heather, and I believe Katie also is in Ashland, Virginia, at the camp meeting there. We started the camp a few weeks ago, and we have had the privilege of opening this camp for the last almost 19 years. That's amazing. But part of our teams, our youth, and all of them have gone to serve the camp. And it's a remnant. I don't know what, there may be a better word. But the Azusa Revival, part of its overflow was from, it resided, and then people have been faithful stewards of keeping that. What God gives us, we need to be able to keep and then take it to the next level. The founding fathers gave them, the Lord gave them some territory, brought them to a new land, and they gave glory to God and kept God central. And so they have it, they were eventually, as you see, they raised up a nation and a culture that's number one economically and its power also, and has been a major influence of peace. No country has done as much as the United States in helping nations keep peace and helping nations in the time of crisis and do acts of kindness. There are many, many reasons why we are praying for our nation. May the Lord be able to keep its prosperity. Therefore, we can help nations all over the world who are in need. And there are so many systems from communism, socialism, that have failed and put enslaved people. The spirit of Antichrist in many of the nations of the Middle East. We have to keep on binding its darkness and terrorism. But pray for Pastor Bonnie. We pray for her. She's this last 2-3 days, and it'll go on through Saturday. They are doing services right now, and we pray the Lord will strengthen and bless Pastor Bonnie and the team with her. I'm proud we can help add strength to the camp and to the movement that they lead. But I wanted to read from Nehemiah chapter 1. As we were, there were a lot of challenges and insights we'll get from the, as we look back at the book of Nehemiah, There are a lot of prophetic vibrations for even this era and age that we're going in. And it says, chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Shislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Say Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and in reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. As a side note, in about 18, 19 days or so, some of us will be flying on an airplane and go to Israel and end up in Jerusalem. But if you notice here, it says Jerusalem is in great distress. Its walls are broken down. This place that, by the way, there is a scripture in Deuteronomy 12:5 says about Israel and Jerusalem. But unto the place where the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither thou shalt come. So God's name, God has chosen to put his name there. And it's maybe peculiar to us, but that's what God is. God. We can't outfigure him. But for him, that is the number one city and location on earth. And we get our prophetic directions often by focusing on Jerusalem and on Israel. So if you notice, which I get, it's for real, but I somewhat get tickled that every few months and every year, definitely, but there is something about Israel and Jerusalem. So this last few weeks, we have a bunch of, they remind me a little bit of the witches in Macbeth. And when shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain? That's the witch's quote. I used to be in a Shakespeare group many years ago as I was growing up. But that is. And then there are these voices who are very anti-Israel, almost total hatred in Congress, these ladies. And any nasty thing they can say about Israel and about its leaders. And they come from a Palestinian background and Middle Eastern background, the voices that are out there. Many years ago, I was going to Minnesota for healing and miracle services for the last 40 years. So I'm very familiar with the number of refugees that were brought specifically from the Middle East and from North Africa that were of one major religious background, definitely not Christian. And at that time, I prophesied to them and told them, you are going to regret letting this many who are so anti-Israel. I hope they still wake up, but there's a kind of liberalism that aggressively goes towards ignorance, that they will not It's a kind of hatred of God, an antichrist spirit, and a devotion to things like abortion and homosexuality and all of that. That there are whole groups of people who, whatever God is for, they are against. So here it is at the news. This is Nehemiah is a man of authority. The cupbearer of a king was very much like, almost like a prime minister. He was usually the chief counselor to a king. And Nehemiah's office is as a cupbearer. So he is in Susa. He is among the group of Jews who were taken captive from Judah. But they were really faithful workers, and they, wherever they went, if they swore allegiance, they were faithful, and kings trusted them. So here is Nehemiah in this very special place of authority, but his heart is in Jerusalem, and he's faithfully helping, serving the king there in Persia, but part of his heart is there. And that's the watch here. We have been living the watch. Even though Pastor Bonnie and I had elements of the watch, even before we got married, she was part of the watch in Texas, our church. So we would have all night prayer, and which was unusual in that old region. We were the only ones who did that. But we loved doing that, and it was a kind of gift. The Lord said, here is anointing that I give you, and you can bring the consciousness of not only prayer and fasting, but watching. And so, but part of the foundation of what we were supposed to do was pray for the peace of Jerusalem and bless Israel. So at this time also, I'm making you, let's be conscious of what kind of period we're living in. And here, the last, if you were faithfully keeping up with some of the news, you find that there are powerful antichrist voices being raised up who are against Israel, and they are strategically been put in the Congress of the United States. So realize that, we are to be men and women of discernment. If there is anyone who has discernment about the heavenlies and what's happening in the spiritual realm, God wants to raise us as disciples. So our values and our direction get it from the Word of God. If you are confused, you don't know what position to take, the Word of God is your foundation. So there is no reason for us to be confused. How should I think? What is my position, for example? As you heard, on one hand, the state of New York in its legislature put out this legislative, they recommended that even on the last day of a birth of a baby, that even when that baby can be aborted, even to the last day. And they stood up and did a standing ovation. Now, for you, if you are a believer and a Christian, I'm telling you, you get your opinion from the Word of God. But if I know anything of the heart of God, the Lord would himself would throw up. that it would totally, the Heavenly Father would be so turned away for babies that have just been born. Even then, they're making statements that could abort them. These are issues that we cannot, in our prayers, in our worship, our intercession, we cannot be neutral. We know how God feels, and God is, you know, he's put it in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. So it's obvious what our position is. So in that same manner then, we hear our three or four powerful voices, for example, in Congress, that the media in the United States have given them great great importance. And they are saying the darkest things and speaking the vilest things and curses on Israel. Well, what is my position on this? It's definite. God has told me, you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. So, hey, how many of you would vote for blessing? You want blessing? Say, I want blessing. Amen. Believe me, God is watching. Angels are watching. I believe in these times we have to make a clear stand. And in fact, he will remember in the time of your need, he'll remember how you helped the cause of God. You would say, well, God doesn't. God is all powerful. But he wants people to pray. He wants people to praise. He wants people to do certain things. So see Nehemiah's reproach. He gets a report here in the book of Nehemiah. It begins with this, that he gets a, how are things in Jerusalem? How are things in Israel? Well, it is depressing, sir. The walls are broken down and the house of the Lord is neglected. And it's really a time where the God's city has been devastated. Part of the result being the people, that it's the reason being they disobeyed God and their God allowed their captivity. But he has promised he's going to restore them. So this is Nehemiah knows the word of God. How are things? Things are not good. So the survivors in Israel and Jerusalem are there in great distress and reproach. The wall is also broken down. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Say, I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So this is, God shows us here in Scripture some of the models of how we do it, and that God hears our cry, but that his response in prayer is here, he is fasting and praying. So there are times we pray. I pray that we have the grace. Every week we come together and pray here. That's a model. We have laid a foundation. But also individually, we pray. But there are models there. And often there are from time to time, we combine. If you are facing major challenges, join with us. And then we have said, now I don't want to review all of it, read our book, The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. But that book was written with 18 years already of experience of 2 40-day fasts, 4 21-day fasts. And there was a groundwork from which there was an impartation to give the grace to the nations in translated in 40 languages. I'm glad that that's part of our legacy here. And because of that, I mean, we are getting from overseas and from many cities requests where people are facing major physical challenges or family challenges or children suffering from schizophrenia to addictions, on and on. But in all of these then, it says, I laid the ground. I started as I sought the Lord. I was fasting and praying. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open. Say after me, I pray, Lord, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants. And then he says, and I confess the sins of the children, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house, I have sinned, and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you have commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there, bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. That's Jerusalem. So here it is. And this is a model prayer for us, just like we pointed out last week. Since this is a beginning a season of a 21-day fast, we often do a 40-day corporate fast. These are, by the way, I mentioned before, but there are people always who haven't had a chance to hear our teaching and enlightening on the subject. But this is one of the most powerful subjects. It's God's atomic weapon. You can get victory. And especially when there are bunches of people that come together and pray and fast and seek the face of the living God. So we have begun that. We have been doing that for this last few days. We have been praying for every family connected, every prayer request that has been made to this ministry and church. But we are seeking God's face, that we will get answers. We will get a turnaround. We will get miracles for all of these prayer needs. But see, the model, like 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he did something like the same manner as Nehemiah is doing here, that King Jehoshaphat turned to the living God and reminded God of his promises. Lord, you have promised. I mean, we can say, Lord, you have promised. You have shown that Jesus took our pains and sicknesses, and you have said, by his stripes, we were healed. Lord, we stand before you and remind you. And he does not mind you reminding. Of course, God has a perfect memory, but he wants to bring to his attention, Lord, you have said that you have given your people that your name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. We bring that to you. That's your name. You are healing. It's not like something say, God says, huh? What healing? What do you mean? He himself has said to his people, I am the Lord who healeth thee. And by the way, Lord, we are having some difficulties. Some of our friends are need a job. And you have said, your name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. So, Lord, turn around, give our friend so-and-so, and this so-and-so, and Miss so-and-so is knocking on the door and needs a job. And here are these jobs available. Open the door for Miss X for the job. So we have to connect these things and stand before God. And then that's why the watch and the worship in this is so wonderful, that we consistently have had an opportunity to come to the Lord and say, Lord, we are thanking you for this answered prayer. And we are thanking you. And ahead of time, we are thanking you for this answered prayer. And we stand and keep a consistency that Thank each of you, and I'm proud of you. May the Lord answer your prayers as you have been involved in a community devoted to worship and praise and thanksgiving. And we are not only just, we not believe in entertainment, though it's, we do. Our worship team is awesome, but when we are seeking the face of God, we are seeking answers, and we are seeking things majorly for our nation, our city, our region, for the whole of the United States, especially right now. And then we know what are the standards, and I hope you don't mind my repeating this because it helps us, that these are the reasons. Number one, the Bible tells us so. Say, the Bible tells us so. So that I'm telling myself, why am I doing this? Because the Bible tells me so. This, in my days, it says, in his days, King David was faithful to his generation. He can't, I mean, he laid a groundwork of worship and prayer, but in his days, he did his best to hold on faithfully to the Word of God. And but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, some of you who are cast out to the farthest part of the heaven, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. Let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He's talking about the king who is serving, who is the chief and final authority there. And then at the end, he gives us enlightenment. The last sentence in that chapter is, for I was the king's cupbearer. So Lord, give me favor before the king. And the next chapter, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him. So by the way, there are times we will find in the Bible that he will give a specific time of the month. And so this is when it happened, in the year of King Artaxerxes, about this time, month in the 20th year of the reign of this king. So that we are enlightened by knowing this really happened. It happened on this day. Someone said, well, is this general statement? No, no. On this 20th year of King Artaxerxes, this is what happened. And I was there when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. By the way, the cupbearer, basically he is the official, he's the most trusted person in the kingdom, because he tastes all the food and the wine that the king eats. If anyone is going to, and there were in that, history will show many, especially in that region of the world, and I would say in the empires, in China, India, there was a lot of assassinations that would happen by people giving poison to those in authority. You may have in history, Cleopatra takes poison, but also is bitten, takes a snake, and she's bitten by the snake. It's interesting how people would say goodbye to this world. But the king depended on this man. This is the man, most trusted man, because otherwise people would be poisoning the king. So here he stands, Nehemiah. Now, I had never been in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. And by the way, it was a no-no to be sad, have a sad face before the king, unless you had a specific reason, a major reason. It was, You had to pretend to be happy. If you're around the king, you were not allowed to let the king get depressed unless there was a genuine reason, something major, dark, and defeatist had happened in the kingdom. So I became dreadfully afraid. So that's why, because you could not have, it was not legal for you to have a sad face before the king. I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs." He's talking about Jerusalem. "That I may rebuild it." Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be?" So here is a scene. If you had a movie, by the way, this is the movie to show you this was what was happening. Artaxerxes was here with his wife, and Nehemiah the servant was before the king. So don't just look at it. For me, I like to watch movies, good ones, and history movies. This is real history happening. This scenario happened. Nehemiah is a real person, and Artaxerxes was a real person. And then Nehemiah says, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy." And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So here are the villains then. There are villains in this story. And these are the evil ones. And see, that it so reminds me, this some of the events in the last few days reminded me of this, that there are, I would say, I mean, I'm not, on one have to be political, there is pressure to be politically correct, but I want to say the villains in our story today are clear. Who is displeased that we recognize Jerusalem as the undivided capital of Israel? Who was saying nasty things about Israel this week in the Congress of the United States? Who is saying vile things about our president and about the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu? And it's clear, it's being enacted right in front of us, this scenario. So it kind of tickles me in some ways how history repeats itself. So in this story of Nehemiah, where we learn about prayer and fast also, there were some bad people who were not happy immediately when they heard someone persuaded the king to bless Israel and help bless and rebuild Jerusalem. There were evil people who were not happy, and they are named here: the Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite. They were deeply disturbed, and you find then chapter 3, then Eliasib in the high priest rose up with the brethren the priests and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the tower of the 100 consecrate, then as far as the tower. Hananel, next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. Next to them, the Zuchor, the son of Imri, built. And so this, they are talking about the building. I wanted to jump for a moment, and then we will I'll bring my thing to a conclusion. Chapter 4, Nehemiah, verse 1. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. It reminded me so much of the scenes you saw this last week or 2 weeks. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they compete in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish? Stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Did you, a few days ago, we talked about the foxes showing up in outside of Jerusalem. Now, at present time, which they have not seen in a long time, even when a fox goes up, the wall will fall down. And what here is the principle. We don't need to argue. We may need to say something at some time when the Lord quickens. But first, we turn towards the living God and say, "Lord, see what they are saying, and you confirm your word. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads." So that's a good prayer to pray against some of these witches, or alleged witches. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their heads. Give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity." So remember, this is a good example for us that there was a time and a season that we thought being Christians meant, Christian means being namby-pamby. And if you're looking for another word, being wimpy. No, these Christians, this is a good example. "Lord, see what they are saying and bring them into captivity. Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." You better be angry, Lord. They have provoked you. "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together." Isn't it something how that with some people in our nation are talking about building the wall, and there are little snippets of news of how they're building the wall in the south, and how it has been, it's a region where the cartels have taken over, and as the cartels, there is tremendous amount of drug trafficking, and some are horrendous drugs, like fentanyl. You can look up how the viciousness of some of these powerful, some of these drugs were not available 50 years ago. This, and kids, I'm talking about teenagers and high school kids, they think it's something exciting. "We got some drugs. We want to try it." And so many of, just a couple of weeks ago, there was someone, a friend of the family contacted us here, that there was a girl, just a teenage, she's 17 years old, had taken a drug overdose, and she was in a coma. And they know that we have had a lot of awesome results of praying for people in comas. And I lay hold of the Lord for that young lady. But there is so much contraband coming across our borders. So we have to have a wall. 70,000 Americans died from drug overdoses. So, and here they are involved in building a wall. So we built the wall, verse 6. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Say, people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. Because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. How about that? There is a watch involved. And they're watching and they're praying. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is falling. There is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversaries, our enemies, said they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them, cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that we told that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they'll be upon us. So they were plotting to kill the Jews right there, prevent them from building the wall. Now, it's really something as I read about, on one hand, we have been blessed economically, as they have reported, this is some of the highest employment we have had, and definitely in the last 50 years, but almost in the last 70 years, this is the economic times of people, of job availability. We have been so blessed. We are blessed. Blessed, blessed. Say, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
So, economic conditions are where we are prospering as a nation. They're saying and they're showing clearly that where there are nations that could even halfway compete with us, where Europe, European nations, that we are beating them. No one can compete because God is giving us so much strength. I believe, personally, it is because especially God wanted to demonstrate last year at the time of May 14th, we officially signed and was the number one most powerful nation. We recognized Jerusalem as the undivided capital of Israel. So we are a prophetic people. We take pulse of the nation. This is time, in the time of blessing, then speak in faith, speak blessing over your family, over your children, wherever they need healing, or they need a job, or they need a scholarship. We're going to stand together with each of you and any family that's they're pregnant or whatever. We are going to pray in the prosperity and the restoration. My prayer is that all of you, every family here, will be debt-free, and we speak blessing on them. But at the time, therefore our position, let's just go on, behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and sisters, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So this is a tremendous end. At the founding of the watch, we used this as one of the founding scriptures, that we stand together and say, do not become fearful in any way of their threatenings. And that we stand together. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from time to time that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the houses of Judah. those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens. So there is a building process and there is a battling process. We do spiritual warfare, pulling down strongholds. So we stay strong in our worship, our praise. This is one of the foundational things that we do as a fellowship and as a community that gives us inner godly strength. And then with that, we says, you know, take your sword, one hand, other hand, you build. So we are to strengthen both sides. We are strong in intercession and spiritual warfare and other do practical things. I was very proud of how people all over came to be with us as we had our convocation in our summer July conference. We were also able to spread our material to tell them how you strengthen the walls and how do you strengthen the atmosphere over your city. Take some of these principles that we have learned and watch and pray everywhere. So this is how they rebuilt Jerusalem. So it is, Nehemiah is a model for us right now. And you see how there are enemy forces. Don't ever just take it for granted that the enemy is just letting us. There will be opposition. Do not get frustrated, disappointed, discouraged if you see some forces, dark forces, who are there. They are against God. They are not against us personally. We don't need to take it personally. But these voices that are raised was, on one hand, I got excited because it was once again confirmation that even if a lot of Christians go into a state of unreality, I wish every church, not too many people, I mean, when I'm on the road and share about our fasting and prayer, can't believe how, they don't even know about much about the subject. And I said, this is a model for every city, every church. So this is by prayer and fasting. Nehemiah shows the building up of the walls of Jerusalem. And in the same time, therefore, this is a model for us. God, let God arise, let enemies be scattered. Let God arise, let financial difficulty, the thief and the robber, he scatters. Any attack on your children, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. And may you get a miracle for your children. May you get a miracle for your healing. Let cancer scatter. Let oppression, let schizophrenia. I mean, there are so many families who are attacked mentally in depression and that especially addiction. Let God arise. Let addiction scatter. So we are going to keep on praying. But I'm glad that we at this time have started again to pray fast. In 21 days, it'll be over. But since we started on last Sunday, and may the Lord give us victory. They got the victory. We might finish Nehemiah maybe next week. But right now we are saying, Lord, we are with our prayer and our fasting, we are laying a groundwork for the coming elections. By the way, especially, I think it's partly our prayers. We have key roles were thrust into some of the people here in this church are involved very much in laying a groundwork for the Republican Convention that we'll be part of those they have trained and qualified as what they call ambassadors. And a lot of them here in this region, so Pastor Bonnie being interviewed on Fox News in 2016, and a lot of our community were with her marching, and we were able to be some of the voices that of praise and thanks who quieted down the voices of riot and division and anger. And the Lord turned it around and brought supernatural peace to this city. I'm grateful that the Lord used this. And in this time, while we are preparing, we are training up workers who will be involved in the coming events in this region. Charlotte is going to be the center of attention. But they say part of the thing is the population of this area is going to be blessed, because just in those periods now, in the next few months, they're going to spend approximately $55 billion. So may people benefit and be blessed as this event happens. May no violence happen over our city. We release angels to be over our city. We pray for angels to be over every neighborhood. And we pray holy angels to cover the safety of you and your children. So thank you, Lord. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Praise God.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.